The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus dismissed the crowds and went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He said in reply, "He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed, the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears ought to hear." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, and once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. I thought we'd take a look at our first reading once again this morning, especially to take a look at the context of the first reading, because this will help you. This will help you not only understand the book of Exodus, it'll help you understand the whole flow of the Old Testament, okay? So, up until this point in which we heard our first reading, all of the following things have occurred. God has set his people free from slavery in Egypt, led them through the Red Sea, through the desert, to the base of Mount Sinai, and give them the Ten Commandments, his solemn covenant, as if to say, "My people, if you keep this covenant, you'll never be slaves again." Solemn covenant at Mount Sinai. So what's the first thing the people do? They break the solemn covenant. They make the golden calf. Because the people grow impatient with how slow God is. Remember, Moses was 40 days up on the top of Mount Sinai. And the people are down at the bottom of Mount Sinai, and they turn to Moses' brother Aaron, and they say, "Hey, you know, this God, he's pretty slow. Maybe you can make a new God for us." So Aaron makes the golden calf. Moses comes down from the mountain, sees the golden calf, and in a moment of unhinged fury, smashes the Ten Commandments on the ground, turns to his brother Aaron and asks, "What have you done?" Now notice, just as an aside, the similarity between this story and the story of the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, because that's the same question God asked to Adam after the original sin. What have you done? And notice how similar Adam's response to God is to Aaron's response to Moses. Because Adam turns to God and he says, "Well, God, this woman who you put here with me, you know, she gave me the fruit, and so, you know, I kind of ate it." Aaron turns to Moses and he says, "Well, Moses, these people who you left here with me, well, you know, they kind of gave me their gold, and, you know, I kind of made this golden calf." Isn't it interesting? Just as an aside, we're going to have a homily on this someday. Isn't it interesting how sin is always somebody else's fault? Just as an aside. So God says to Moses, he says, "Moses, stand back. I'm going to clean house. We're going to start all over again. We're going to make a brand new people. I'm going to make of these people a great nation. And you, Moses, I will put at the head of this great new nation." And Moses intercedes. And he begs God. He says, "God, I beg you, please don't do this. Remember the sacrifice of Abraham. And God, if it matters, I'll even offer you my own life in sacrifice right now, if you'll save this people." And this goes to show you the power of intercessory prayer, because from that moment forward, things change. God becomes very, very merciful. And that is the context of our first reading. And if there's a lesson in it, it's the power of sacrifice offered in love to change things, because everything changes. Things change for Moses. From this moment forward, Moses is closer to God than ever before. Moses now speaks to God face to face. And when he walks away from prayer, his face is radiant glowing with holiness, closer than ever. And things change for the people, too. They're forgiven, of course. But from this moment on, things are more complicated. They used to be able to talk to God directly. Now they have to talk to God through Moses. They used to have nice, simple commandments, and now the commandments are maddeningly complex, right? All those Old Testament commandments and rules and regulations, that all begins right here. But you know, if there's a lesson in this, it's one to remember. It's the power of sacrifice offered in love to change things, because sin breaks stuff. And sacrifice offered in love has the power to put it back together again. And note this well, no one is blessed more than the one who offers that sacrifice. Nobody. So you got broken things in your life, yes or yes, yes. Offer sacrifice for those people. Hidden sacrifices, perhaps the habitual sacrifice of just doing your job as well as you possibly can. You will draw down God's blessings on those people, whether they know it or not, whether they want it or not, whether they ask for it or not, whether they deserve it or not. And don't ever feel too sorry for the one who offers that sacrifice, because no one is blessed more than the one who offers it. You want to know why? Because there's really only one blessing in the world, and that's the blessing of closeness to Christ. Sacrifice offered for someone else, that makes you more like him than anything else, right? So we have a broken world, we have broken families, we have a broken church. Little message today. Sacrifice offered in love is the roadmap to healing. Let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. St. Alphonsus Liguori, pray for us.